All right, if you'll turn with me to John 15. John 15, we'll start in verse 18, go through 25. If the world hates you, and you know that it hated me before it hated you, if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. And they persecuted me, they also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. And notice they're talking about God they do not know. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. So what comes to your mind when you read these verses, when you think about end time persecution? Where do you think it comes from? You probably have thought that maybe atheist or non-Christian religions, which is probably true to a point, but history shows persecution of the true church has come from others who claim to be Christian. It was not the secular Romans who hated Jesus. It was the Jewish religious leaders of the day who rejected him. Ever notice how some people become completely hostile over whether you should keep the Saturday Sabbath or obey the law? They get very defensive over verses they say allow them to eat pork or anything else they choose. You can show them the many times in the Bible says that you love God if you will keep his commandments, and they still do not get it. It is fighting words to say anything in celebration of Christmas or Easter. This type of thing is not new in ancient Judah. They thought they could include the pagan with the holy. You don't need to turn there, but I'll read from Jeremiah 7, 8 through 10. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know? In verse 10, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. So many today will also say they use their practices to celebrate Jesus, so that makes it good. We can certainly see a war on all things Christian, but their biggest issue is with God. People judge God for his stance against sin, for wiping out whole nations because they were beyond any redeeming value. Some reject God altogether, and others want to blame that on the harsh old God of the Old Testament. They teach Jesus brought a new covenant that did away with those harsh old laws of the Father, even though it was the same God in both. They feel God and the Bible judges them, and they are getting more and more reprehensible in their rebellion daily. Many churches now accept behaviors condemned in the Bible and feel very righteous in doing so. Revelation shows that it will be an end-time religious system paired with the beast government that will make war on the saints. If you turn to Revelation 13, Revelation 13, 7 and 8. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose name has not been written in the book of life, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You hold your place here, we'll be coming back to this chapter. Fox's Book of Martyrs tells the story of those who defiled the Pope and were dragged through the streets, sewn up in skins, and eaten by dogs, joints dislocated, reset, dislocated again and again. Women tortured simply for reading the Bible or refusing to acknowledge the Pope as the Vicar of Christ. Many of these lacked understanding of the Bible. Some translated the Bible from the Latin that only priests were allowed to read because they wanted to be able to, because they wanted it to be available to the general public. Once people started reading the scriptures, some saw the church at Rome had little resemblance in the New Testament church to the New Testament church. Any who would not follow the prevailing teachings of their times are the ones who ended up persecuted and martyred all through the centuries since Christ. The rejection has always been a rejection of God. We are only persecuted for being a reflection of the character of God. The ones who have watered down the commandments and added celebrations that are not godly are actually rebelling against God. They are making God over in their image rather than being made over in the image of God. And this is not new. With the rejection of Samuel and the demand for a king, God told Samuel it was not him that they rejected as leader, but God himself. I'll read about this to you from Samuel, 1 Samuel 8, 4 through 7. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "Look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." But this thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." So Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed the voice of the people and all they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, and I should not reign over them." That attitude, emanating from Satan, has always been reflected by mankind. Many Christians today are looking for a renewal of religious fervor and expect a large new harvest that they feel the Bible predicts for this time of the end. 504 years ago, on October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses on the door of the castle church in Wittenberg. This caused a split about the Roman Catholic Church that resulted in the Protestant Reformation and the World Lutheran Foundation of Churches. In October 2016, Pope Francis and Bishop Munib Yunan, I'm sure I butchered it, but I'm sure he's not watching. He was the president of the Lutheran World Foundation, and they had a meeting. The Pope and Yunan signed a joint declaration at the Lutheran Cathedral in Lund in Sweden, which stated, "With this joint statement, we express joyful gratitude to God for his moment of common prayer in the Cathedral of Lund, as we begin the year commemorating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. 50 years of sustained and fruitful ecumenical dialogue between Catholics and Lutherans have helped us to overcome many differences and have deepened our mutual understanding and trust." It also said, "We commit ourselves to further growth and communion rooted in baptism as we seek to remove the remaining obstacles that hinder us from attaining full unity. We long for this wound in the body of Christ to be healed. This is the goal of our ecumenical endeavors. looks good on the surface, that they should bury the differences and come together in unity. But what is it leading to? The Catholic Church is patterned after the Roman Empire with the same organizational structure, legal, and everything. In Revelation 13, the Bible shows there will come another time when an attempt will be made at a church-state solution to humankind's problems. Constantine attempted this in order to bring unity to the Roman Empire in the 4th century. Much of Europe looks back on this time as their glory days. We already see mainstream Christianity being condemned for their lack of character because leaders of some large congregations have feet of clay. Many people are longing for a return to an old-time religion that teaches morality. They can see the destruction of the family and society brought on by loose morals. Will they be deceived by promises of an end to abortion? End of abortion and morality, and also through great signs and wonders? Of bringing in many converts back to the original church, could even we be deceived? Now, if you go back to Revelation 13, 1 through 6, then I stood on the sea, the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his 10 crowns, on his horns 10 crowns, and on his head a blasphemous name. And I saw one of the heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon, who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. If you skip down to verse 11, and I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had 2 horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast and in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship like the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath in the image of the beast, that the image of the beast shall both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both great, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive the mark on their right hand or their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except for the one who has the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. False prophet can claim to be God, but will actually be the last stand of Satan, the devil, and his rebellion and rejection of the government of God. The wound between the church and their daughters will be healed as they follow this person claiming to have the way to peace and prosperity. Each time we step away from the morality of the Bible, each misstep made in the governing by man brings us closer to this time. We do not need to fear, because God has told us beforehand that it is coming, and we have his absolute assurance he will rescue us. Satan is leading to the final showdown that would result in all mankind being destroyed, his ultimate rejection of the law and plan of God. But for the sake of the elect, Christ will return to stop it. In his insanity, Satan thinks this destruction destroys the plan of God, the government of God, the law of God, but nothing he can do or ever has done stops the plan God had from the beginning, the plan of reproducing himself and bringing his government to the earth.